Yeah, I can be. Well, how are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Change My Heart, O God. You can think of a pick of him if you want. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O
ground. We are standing in
presence on holy ground. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as He loved so long ago, taking children on His knee, saying, "Let them come to me." Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me on my way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday His face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed, of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a Christ that satisfies, since I have been redeemed. To do His will, my highest prize, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear, since I have been redeemed. Dispelling every doubt and fear, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed, where I shall live eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of Him this evening? Okay, well, we got one and two, so what's yours? 690. He leadeth me on 690. All right. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death cold's wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Amen. What's yours, Bobby?
Three? Oh, okay. Way at the beginning. Three. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, on page three.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 through the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other pick of hymns out there? Anybody thinking of one? Going once, going twice?
All right, all right. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Do we have any praises out there? Praises. Praises, praises. Amen. Praise the Lord, we're here. We are here. Oh, I'm telling you, the AC feels great. End of summer, man. Summer comes back. Yeah, not much fall around here. Yeah, you got one back there? You got praise? Okay.
Lori had a theft at their store that she works at, and, uh-huh. and they're pretty sure they caught the thieves, so that's praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen. So the thieves were apprehended. Thieves caught. All right. Very good, very good. What else? Any other praises? 100 for the Hornets. Okay. All right. All right. So our school had our yearly eval by what Mr. Thompson, he's like the area rep, and we got 100. So that's good. That's a perfect score. Amen. Cha-ching. All right. Amen. Way to go. Way to go, New Hope Christian School. All right. 100, all right, from the area rep. Outstanding, outstanding. What else, what else? Any other praises? Anything? Okay, moving along, prayer request. I've got John Davlin. Miss Marilyn said, third visit to the ER, fourth visit to the doctor, still no diagnosis. So John's still struggling, so we want to continue to pray for him tonight. Be in prayer for Barbara McNew. She's been moved from Tomball HCA to Tomball Nursing Center, located there on Peach Street, over there by the baseball fields, Little League baseball fields, if you know what I'm talking about. Just across the railroad tracks to the right, okay? So that's where she's at, Miss Barbara McNew. Be in prayer for her. She's having issues trying to eat, having an appetite, so need to pray she gets her appetite back. Ronnie Holman, continue to pray for him, his cancer, and his healing. Terry Kimball over in Ukraine, should be starting to make her transition back. I'm not sure exactly when, but be in prayer for her and that Samaritan's Purse team as they transition from Ukraine back to the States. Continue to pray for Ukraine and pray for Russia. Mr. Putin seems like he's wanting to go off the rails and use tactical nuclear weapons. So I guess when you pull that chain, the whole thing has taken on a different level. But Russia's trying to recruit militia people out of their prisons to go fight on the front line for the freedom. So things are getting pretty dicey over there. So be in prayer for Russia and that country. And should we pray that Putin get removed? I don't know. We should pray that Putin get removed. You don't know who's going to replace Putin. Just pray that maybe God will intervene and. Wouldn't it be great if Russia became a republic? Boy, that would be something. I don't know. Maybe another revolution's coming. Who knows? But pray for Russia. Pray for that situation. And then we've got Bicky and Bill watching at the house. Bicky and Bill, good to see y'all tonight. And Miss Socorro, good to see y'all tonight. And the rest of our shut-ins and homebound, good to have y'all with us tonight. So that's our prayer request. Any other prayer requests? Anything else? Anybody? Anybody? It's almost dark out there. 7:18. Hurricane Fiona? Where's it heading towards? Hurricane Fiona. All right. Yeah, those people in Puerto Rico. Pray for Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. Yeah, there's one brewing down in the South Caribbean, so we may get a little taste of something. But I think they said a cool front was coming down and would steer that thing on towards Florida or out that way. So who knows? All right, Hurricane Fiona, Puerto Rico. Yeah, where are they at? Well, nothing's developed. There's still several days from anything developing, but it's got like a 90% chance of turning into something. So hopefully Those cruise ships kind of keep an eye on all that. Oh, they'll make it. Yeah, amen. They'll be ahead of it. Very good. All right, what else, what else? Anything else? All right. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together tonight around your word and around praising your name and singing songs to you, Lord. And we just thank you tonight. We praise you tonight for our salvation. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us, Lord. And thank you for how you provide our needs. And Lord, we just are, we're a blessed people. And Lord, sometimes we don't realize that. So we're coming in here tonight thanking you and praising you for all your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thanking you for Lori and her co-worker's safety. They're at the store they work where the theft happened. Lord, we're thankful that the perpetrator was caught. And Lord, we pray that justice would be meted out accordingly. Lord, we're thankful for our good report over at the school and Mr. Thompson's visit, Lord, and the 100. And we're just thankful that everything's going well next door. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for that. And we just pray that would continue. And Lord, more kids would come and more seed would get sown and more Christian curriculum would get out there in the community. So we praise you and thank you for that, what the school is doing, what the teachers are doing over there. Thank you for them. And then, Lord, as we think about these prayer requests tonight, we lift up John Davlin to you. We continue to pray for Brother John, Lord. He's got some issues, keeps going to the ER, keeps going to the doctor. Nobody give him an answer, tell him what's going on. We just pray that you might touch his body. Whatever ails him, Lord, we pray you might remove it from him. And Lord, whatever needs to happen, we just pray you calm him, still him, touch his body, and help him get through what he's going through, Lord. We lift him up. And then Barbara McNew, we pray for her tonight, Lord, and as she's transitioned from the hospital to now a skilled nursing center, we pray that you might give her appetite back to her, Lord. We pray that she'd want to see that little dog again and want to get back to that apartment and want to be independent again. We pray that she would just hunker down and want to eat. Lord, give her that blessing of wanting food and nourishment. We pray that you might help her with that, help her put on some weight, get some strength, get going again. We continue to lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We praise you and thank you for Ronnie and Nancy, Lord. We pray for Ronnie's cancer fight, his cancer struggles. We pray for his healing. Pray, Lord, that you might remove that cancer from him. And, Lord, just give him a total 100% healing, Lord, remission, a removal, whatever needs to be, God, miracle. We just pray that happens in Ronnie Holman's life. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Terry Kimball as her and Samaritan's Purse begin their transition back to the States after a six-week stint there, Lord, serving the people of Ukraine and ministering in Jesus' name to them. Thank you for all the ministry that has happened. Thank you for how you have provided and protected for them. And Lord, we just pray that you give them traveling mercies as they come back to the States, fly back here to America, and all of those Samaritan's Purse people to their respective states and towns and homes as they begin to come home. And then Lord, we continue to pray for Ukraine. We pray that they would be able to push out the aggressor, that they would be able to regain the sovereignty of their country and of their land. And Lord, you would protect them and help them. And Lord, just help them drive out Russia. And in the midst of that, Lord, we pray that there would be some kind of intervention in President Putin's life. Something, Lord, some kind of a change. Lord, we don't necessarily know how to pray. But Lord, we know it's a difficult situation talking about using nuclear weapons. And Lord, just things could get really crazy quick. And so, Father God, we just pray, we just put in that situation before you tonight and asking for your help and asking for your guidance in that. We pray for our president, we pray for his cabinet, we pray for our military personnel, Lord. We just pray you lead God, protect them, and Lord, just be with America right now as we try to navigate these difficult waters of places around the world that are dealing with conflict and war. Lord, we pray for the people in Puerto Rico trying to recover from this last hurricane. We pray that, Lord, you would help them get their power back on and you would help them get their hospitals going again. And, Father God, you just help those poor people as they trying to recover from the last big hurricane and now here another one is. And, Lord, it's like they take one step forward, two steps back. We pray you'd encourage the people in Puerto Rico. Help them, Lord, watch over them, be with them. Father God, we're thankful for our opportunity to be in your word tonight. We continue to pray for the election process coming up in November. We pray that the Christians in this country would get out and vote a Christian conscience. And Lord, you would bring about a great change in our government. And Lord, government would begin to work again. People would work together. And Lord, there could be disagreement over ideas, but not all this hate going on, God. We pray that there would be a change somehow, somewhere in the midst of all that. But Lord, you know, you're sovereign, you're in control. And so, Lord, we put that down at your feet. We ask that you help out with that and help us. Help us vote the way we need to vote as we think about voting with a Christian conscience. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. We're going to be in Leviticus. So we'll give you an opportunity to get there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I think I've got enough copies. I've got you a little Leviticus 1. I'll try to have one next week as well. But this is kind of an overview of the book of Leviticus. Okay. There you go, Frank. Hey, man, you can date it. There you go, Penny. Can you guys look on? Amen. Thank you. All right. There you go. Pass it down. There may be two in there. Did I give you two? All right. Need one more, one more? Two more? Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, Brother John, there you go. All right. And then Bobby? Uh-oh, I'm short one. Amen. Sorry for the quality. It's old, but it's a good one. That just kind of lines it out for you. Kind of shows you where we're going. And so when we're at these different spots, you can kind of look back and see where we've been. But it starts off there in chapter 1. It says, got the burnt. Those are talking about the offerings. And then the meal offering 2, peace offering 3, sin offering 4. And then trespass offering 5:14. And then laws of offerings 6:8. And then chapter 8, Aaron and sons anointed. And you see kind of how it goes. It goes all the way down to chapter 27. Notice up in the top, if you're holding it in the landscape position, notice it has consecration over here and then consecration down here. That's the point, right? That's one of the big points. And then if you look under the numbers, 1 through 27, you've got the different kind of breaks in the book. Laws of offerings, laws of consecration of priests, laws of purity. And then notice 16 and 17, it says atonement. And notice that is all over, that laws of atonement is all over the way to God. And then if you look under the way to God, it says redemption. And then notice that big point, the day of atonement. And then if you jump over a little bit more to the right, you got holy people, holy priests, holy times, a just recompense, holy vows, right? And then if you look underneath that, it says the walk with God. You had the way to God, and then you got the walk with God. And then you got redemption on one side, restoration on the other side. You got the Day of Atonement on one side. You got the Year of Jubilee on the other. Amen? And then underneath all of it is the word we've been dealing with, and that is holiness. That is correct, folks. Great. All right. Well, I'll try to have you another one that's got it from a different, little bit different perspective. Charles Swindoll puts out a good one on Leviticus, kind of an outline on the book, and so we'll look at that one next week. But if you have a copy of God's Word, let's go ahead and turn it to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, and we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Holy Inerrant Word of God. And we'll go ahead and read verses 10 through 17 tonight. And then when we get together on Sunday night, I think we will actually begin dealing with the verses. So we'll have a good kind of understanding. We've already been through them a couple of times, and so we'll read some of this again on Sunday night, but then we'll go ahead and start diving into it. We're going to finish our introductory material this evening. The Word of God reads in Leviticus chapter 1, those of you with us online, Beginning in verse 10, it says, but if his offering is from the flock of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt offering, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall slay it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. He shall then cut it into its pieces with its head and its suet. The suet means the fat, okay? And the priest shall arrange them on the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of soothing aroma to the Lord. Verse 14, but if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop. Now, the crop is that little pouch on the front of a bird's, just below its neck, on its chest. Kind of stores food there before it goes into its actual stomach. And so he's going to take that crop out, right? He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the wood, which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, last time we were talking, I guess that would be on Sunday night, we were talking about the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness, right? And so we'd already covered a holy God, or we finished that up Sunday night, and then we began covering a holy priesthood, right? And what we said as we ended that Bible study on Sunday evening, we said every true believer in Jesus Christ is a priest of God with the privilege of offering spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9 reads, you also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, that's how we kind of ended it. We said, as we were ending that Bible study Sunday night, we said in the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood. But we said in the New Testament, that'd be now, church age stuff, God's people are a priesthood. We are the priesthood, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Y'all remember Revelation, don't you? Amen? All right. So we said through faith in Christ, we've been washed. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. We actually read the passages on Sunday night. We said through faith in Christ, we've been clothed in His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. We said through faith in Christ, we've been anointed by the Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John 2, 27. We said, through faith in Christ, we've been given access into His presence. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. So everything we do as a believer, as a Christian, if it's worthwhile, if it's worshipful, if it furthers the gospel, if it's worth something to get a spiritual reward for one day, everything is going to be through who? Through Christ. Amen. It's by Christ, through Christ, with Christ. I mean, it's about Jesus. Amen. That'd be the point. So as we continue on, the book of Leviticus explains five basic things that relate, five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness. That's what happens when you eat your bluebell before church and not after. That sugar hits and you're like, you can't quite get it all out. Amen. So a holy people, the bluebell just, I had to eat it before church. A holy people, the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness, a holy God, a holy priesthood, and thirdly, a holy people. God's purpose for Israel was that the nation be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, per Exodus chapter 19, 6. Everything in the life of the Old Testament Jew, remember, or learn it for the first time, everything in the life of the Old Testament Jew was either holy, set apart for God's exclusive use, or it was common. And the common things were either clean, that means people could use them, or unclean, meant that it was forbidden to be used by them. And the Jews had to be careful to avoid what was unclean, otherwise they would find themselves cut off from the rest of the people until they had gone through the proper ceremony to be made clean again. So the laws governing marriage and the laws governing birth and the laws governing diets and laws governing personal cleanliness and the laws governing the quarantine of diseased persons and the laws governing the burial of the dead, while they certainly involved hygienic benefits to the nation, they were all reminders that God's people could not live any old which way they wanted. There was a certain way to live. Make sense? Because they were God's chosen people, the Jews had to learn to distinguish a difference. They had to learn how to distinguish a difference. This is good. We'll do this. This is bad. We won't do that. This is good. Yes, yes. Oh, this is bad. No, no. They had to learn how to distinguish a difference. Amen? Leviticus chapter 10:10 says, "And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean." So they must not live, the Jews, the Israelites, they must not live to be a holy people. They must not live like the godless nations around them. They had to live like the chosen people of God that they were. Amen? So when we get into Leviticus chapter 11 through Leviticus chapter 17, you will see how the Jewish people were distinguished by their diet, how they were distinguished by their treatment of newborn babies and their treatment of mothers, and how they were distinguished by their treatment of dead bodies and their handling of people with diseases and sores. And then you'll notice that once a year, on the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Atonement in chapter 16, the nation would be reminded each and every year that Jehovah was a holy God. He was a holy God, and that the shed blood was the only way of cleansing the people. Likewise, as we think about New Testament times, as we think about the church age, likewise, God's church is supposed to be a holy nation. A holy nation in this present evil world. 1 Peter 2:9, second half of that verse. 1 Peter 2:9, the second half. 1 Peter 2:9. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Greek word translated proclaim there means to tell out. It means to tell out. It means to advertise. It means to market. It means to proclaim. Get the word out. Amen? So the holy nation of Israel and Canaan with its holy priesthood revealed to the pagan nations around them the glories and the excellencies of Jehovah, the true and living God. And likewise, the church in today's world has the same privilege and responsibility. Amen, amen. So when Israel started to live like the pagans, they robbed God of His glory, and the Lord had to chasten them. And likewise, I think if the church, any church or groups of churches or people groups with churches in them, and the churches go astray, I think they set themselves up for the heavy hand of the Lord that they really don't want. Amen? So the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness: a holy God, a holy priesthood, a holy people, and fourthly, a holy land. The land is holy. The people belong to the Lord because he had what? He had redeemed them from Egypt to be his very own people. And the land belonged to the Lord, right? Yes? Right? And so he gave the land to Israel with the stipulation that they do nothing to defile it. Well, you can have it, but you ought to be a good steward of it if I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Yeah, I mean, you ought to be a good steward of it if I'm going to give it to you. So here's the land. You can have it, but be a good steward, right? Be a good steward. So what does the sovereignty of God look like here so far as we're talking about the introduction of the book of Leviticus? Well, we've got a holy God, and he wants his holy people to live in his holy land. That makes sense, doesn't it? Amen? So in Leviticus chapter 18 through 27, the word land is used some 68 times. In these chapters, Moses named the sins that defile the land and invite divine judgment. Can I give you the list of sins? I'll give them to you anyway. You got immorality, chapter 18. Idolatry, chapter 19. Capital crimes, chapter 20. Blasphemy, chapter 23. And refusing to give the land its rest, chapter 25. Unfortunately, as Jewish history, biblical history reveals, the Jewish people did what, preacher? Well, man, they committed all these sins and more. And God did what? Well, he gave them grace. He gave them rope. He gave them time. And then he finally chastened them. He allowed Babylon to destroy Jerusalem and to take the people captive. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 21. The nations of the world today do not have the same covenant relationship to God that Israel has, but they are still responsible to obey his moral law and use his gifts wisely. Amos chapter 1 and 2. Now, I can't speak about other nations. I'm an American, a Texan, Southeast Texan, living in the Houston area. Amen. So I can't speak about other folks, but I believe my own beloved land is guilty of abusing God's gifts and refusing to obey God's laws and is therefore ripe for judgment. The very sin that God condemns, murder. Did you hear on the news that a father was murdered? And his little toddler was left in the car, 2-year-old little boy, and he died. They couldn't get to him in time. Dad was murdered, and the little boy died just because. Praise the Lord, they caught the perpetrator. The very sins that God condemns, murder, deceit, immorality, violence, greed, and blasphemy, are the very things. Are you ready for this? Are the very things that entertain the masses. Entertainment value, whether it's on or in video games, the internet, television, in the movies, or in books. Take the violence and the vice out of entertainment. Take it out of video games. I mean, make it all Candy Crush, right? Make it all rainbows and unicorns and make it all that. And I want to tell you, you'll kill that industry. You'll kill it. You take the violence and the vice out of the video games and off the internet, and many people, many people will not pay to see to experience it either with their money or their time. Why? Because they're addicted to the murder. They're addicted to the deceit, the immorality, the violence, the greed, and the blasphemy. They find entertainment value in it. God even gave his people an annual calendar to follow. An annual calendar to follow to help them appreciate his gifts and use them for his glory. That's chapters 23 and 25 when we get to that. As the Jewish history goes, up until after the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were primarily an agricultural people. And the calendar of feasts was tied directly to the annual harvest. And so you had the sabbatical years, and then you had the year of Jubilee. It not only helped conserve the land, but it also helped regulate the economy of the nation. God knew exactly what he was doing. Amen? He knew exactly what he was doing. So what was the result, preacher? What was the big result of the annual calendar and the rhythm of the land use? What's up with the rhythm of the land? What's up with the rhythm of rest? What's up with that? Well, I'll tell you what's up with it. The ungodly nations could simply observe the land of Israel. They could simply observe the nation and see that Jehovah was blessing his people and caring for them. Now, that brings me to my last theme here. We said the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness: a holy God, a holy priesthood, a holy people, a holy land, and finally, a holy Savior. A holy Savior. To study the Bible and not see Jesus Christ is to miss the major theme of the book. I mean, if you can read the Bible and say, "What, Jesus? What? I don't, I'm unclear." You're missing the whole point. What's the application then? The application is this. The law, which is Leviticus is, it's part of the five books of Moses, the Torah, the law they call it. The law was a shadow of good things to come, per Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. A shadow, especially in the Levitical sacrifices and the priestly ministry. When we look at that priestly ministry, when we look at those sacrifices, we see the person and we see the work of Jesus Christ vividly portrayed over and over and over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In other words, no amount of good works, no amount of religious efforts can make a sinner holy. It's only by a sacrifice. It's only by shed blood. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our sins, 1 John 1, 7. And only the risen, glorified Savior can intercede for us at the throne of God as our advocate, 1 John 2, 1. And only, only Jesus can serve as our high priest. Hebrews chapter 8, 1, Romans 8, 34. The Word of God reads some of these verses that I've mentioned, read like this, 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hebrews 8, 1. Now the main point and what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And Romans 8, 34 says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is. He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Amen and amen. So what the Old Testament Jews saw only in shadows, you and me, my friend, today, we see in the bright light of Jesus Christ. Just as the nation of Israel had to beware of that which was unclean and defiling, They had to distinguish. So must believers today cleanse themselves, make a distinction from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Almighty God. See, God wants us to be holy. Yes, yes. A priesthood that's holy. He wants us to be a holy nation so that we will advertise His virtues and glorify His name. Pointing all the way back to 1 Peter chapter 2 that we read at the beginning here. Now, on a Sunday morning, before Charles Haddon Spurgeon was told, "We don't want you preaching here anymore." Before he got the boot at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, on a Sunday morning in January 24th, 1861, Charles Haddon Spurgeon closed his sermon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle with these words. He said, "An unholy church, it is of no use to the world and of no esteem among men. Oh, it is an abomination, hell's laughter, heaven's abhorrence. And the larger the church, the more influential, the worse nuisance does it become. When it becomes dead and unholy, the worst evils which have ever come upon the world have been brought upon her by an unholy church." I mean, boy, you can think about history and just see how that rings true. I'll end with this. 8 times in His Word, the Lord says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Amen. Well, we'll pray it out tonight, and we'll think about those first 17 verses as we begin Sunday evening. We'll have another little one of these. It kind of outlines it a little bit different. We'll go over that. You'll have something to compare and contrast and see which kind of ties into your background knowledge more, what kind of interests you more. It's okay. There's not really a right or wrong way to outline these. You can outline them exegetically. You can outline them thematically. You can outline them by application. There's just a whole lot of different ways to outline books. So I think the one from Swindoll is more of an application outline. So we'll look at that one on Sunday night. But anyway, amen, amen? All right, let's close it out with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank You for tonight, Lord. We thank You for our study that we can continue on and finish our introductory material on the book of Leviticus. Thank You, Lord, for it. It is a great book, like all of them are, Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You just continually keep our hearts and our minds attuned and afresh to receive what's here. And Lord, as we go through it, may it help us and encourage us in a lifestyle of holiness. And Lord, may it point us to a closer walk with You. And Lord, ultimately, may we be more like Christ. And Lord, may we glorify Your name because of it. So Lord, we seek to glorify You. We seek to love You with everything within us. And Lord, we just seek to be more about You each and every day. So God, give us safety as we depart this place tonight. We praise You for all Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You again for our salvation. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Thank you, online folks. We'll see you next time. All right.